Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
The agony of defeat. The pain of being a sports fan. You know, listen, there's real problems in the world. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 159. There's real problems in the world. So these are just games and stuff. But, it, you know, you think about it, being a sports fan, there's a lot more sort of misery than there is, like, joy, isn't there? Look at our boy Matias. He's a Clipper fan, an Atlanta Falcon fan, and a Duck fan. And an Argentinian fan. So Argentina just won. The Ducks have won before. They haven't won in a long time, but they have won. And it actually wasn't that long ago. They won. The Ducks have won, but you know, there's been a lot of misery along the way. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. Caused nothing but misery. The Dodgers are always really good, but they don't win enough. But I bring this up because, as I see here, the game-winning goal in overtime for the Florida Panthers on the highlights, there's like a, I'm assuming it's a mother and daughter, but there's like a, woman and like a 12-year-old girl type thing. And the look on their face, they were literally in the front row. So I'm thinking, all right, how much money did you spend? You bought front row tickets. You're right up against the glass. You're near the net. And Florida scored the game winner, like right in front of them. Next time you see the highlights, so you just notice the, you know, and the mother did not take it well. The daughter just sort of looked shocked, like she wanted to cry. And, like, the Panther players were all, like, they banged into the glass right in front of them and stuff. And the mother, like, put her hands over her face and her face into the glass. Like, it was like, oh, my God. Like, and I'm just thinking, this poor lady, like, you know, she goes to Florida. Game goes to overtime. Leafs blow 2-1 goal leads in a game. Just not meant to be for this Toronto Maple Leaf team. There's teams like this, right? The Dallas Cowboys and the Leafs are very similar. I think the Bills and the Leafs are more similar. Because, you know, the Bills and the Leafs are generally pretty dominant in the regular season. Then just they just hit a wall. And the same thing happens every time. And you think, well, maybe next year it'll be different. And it never is different. It never is. Listen, we have sports, we have fans of like all different sports teams listening in. I think of our boy Lucas, our boy John Doe. We've got a couple of Sacramento fans in the house. I think you're better off. You know what I mean? Like, look at the Vancouver Canucks. Would you rather be a Vancouver Canuck fan or a Toronto Maple Leaf fan? All right, the Canucks aren't supposed to win every year. The Canucks are stockpiling draft picks, have a bunch of really, you know, good young players. And, like, there's actually a future. You know what I mean? You could say, well, you know what? Who knows what the, you know, maybe we'll see what these kids can do. When you're a fan of a good team, like, what do? Right? It's sort of like the Dodgers. You know? And it's sort of like, you know, the Dodgers actually did shake things up this year. And so far, it's kind of starting to work out for them right now. Right? People were all mad. Oh, Trey Turner's gone in, replace him. Oh, you know, look at their crappy outfield. They didn't spend any money. And I did say at the time, I was part of that group to bitch a bit. But I also said at the time, I said, you know what? You know, it hadn't been working. Like, you know what I mean? I like Trey Turner. He's obviously an awesome player. They didn't win last year. They had Trey Turner. They didn't win when they had Max Scherzer. The Late Night Anger Management Class, the quickest 100 minutes of sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Sirius XM Channel 159. We're throwing it down on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our affiliates, wherever you may be, kicking it with us this evening. We got the Big E, Eric Cohen, going to step up, and then we'll talk more NHL playoffs, a little Major League Baseball with Cohen. We haven't gotten into too much baseball tonight. I think I will. We will in a couple of minutes. I want to recap the UFC card. It was a really crazy weekend. Kentucky Derby. As I stated, we tell you people, hey, follow me on Twitter, and I'm always posting my picks. And we posted the winner for the Kentucky Derby hours before the race, too. So you had time. There's no excuse not to see it. I reposted it a bunch of times. I already liked Madge, right? I like Forte, Madge, and Reincarnate. And then Forte was a scratch, and I didn't start thinking, oh, I got to replace and do a bunch of things. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Reincarnate. I like Reincarnate. And I did like Tap It Trice as well. But hitting the 12-1 was nice. We've been really up and down. We've had some great picks. Like, you know, you hit the Kentucky Derby at 12-1 is great. We told you F1, boom, we killed it. Verstappen actually ended up closing at plus 175. Verstappen wins again. We told you Alonso would get on the podium. We told you Red Bull would both finish on a podium. So we had a lot of good things. But then, you know what I mean? It's the old, and it's my fault. I've gotten away from what I practiced and preached. And if you don't practice what you preach, then you're just preaching. And that's not good. And I always tell people, bet the same amount on pretty much all of your bets. Doesn't mean the exact same dollar amount. Like, you know what I mean? You know, but like, okay, I don't, you know, I casually going to bet $100 on a baseball game. You know, I bet, you know, I like the NBA game, I go 500. Or, you know, I go 250, I go 500, et cetera, right? You have a plan, you stick to it. And then, you know, you'll win more than you lose games. And then, therefore, you're going to make money because you're always betting the same amount of money, right? But I've gotten away from it in the past, like, week. I've gotten stupid, right? Like, I'm putting, you know what I mean? I'm putting $500 on an international soccer game at 3 in the morning now. I'm all over the place. I'm stepping up large on, like, one NBA game. And if it loses, like, the Knicks-Heat series is really frustrating. The Miami Heat have always been a nemesis of mine. Same with the Dolphins. I don't know what it is. The Dolphins and the Heat. Like, if I pick them to win, they lose. If I bet them to lose, they win. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
SportsGrid.com.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team. Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
Hey, settle down. Dwight Powell's the center. This is his Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. A lot of basketball talk to get to. We'll share our picks for tomorrow night, our thoughts, even though I tell you what, I was just talking about the Miami Heat being a nemesis of mine. I don't like what I've seen from the Knicks, but I have a feeling if I go, oh, yeah, you know, listen, I was on the Knicks on Saturday, so now if I'm going to take the Heat on Monday, watch the Knicks show up now. I don't have a good feel for that series. You know, I figured that the Knicks would win the series. but I didn't love it. But I figured, listen, you know, I mean, the Miami Heat have Jimmy Butler. Kevin Love's like 82 years old. Kyle Lowry's 83 years old. It's amazing that the Knicks are losing this series, but they're not playing very well. Barrett's giving them nothing, not very much. You know, he's okay, but he's not stepping up. Randall's been terrible. Brunson's inconsistent. The bench has been getting crushed. That's the thing. You figure Miami would not have a lot of depth, but the bench points have been a big, you know, that was a big difference. We'll get back to the NBA. I want to get to the UFC, but and recap last night's card. Something, though, there's so much going on. We're caught up in the playoffs, but they announced the FIBA Basketball World Cup groupings. So this is the precursor to the Olympics. You've got to get through this stuff and to get to the Olympics in Paris in 2024. And how late is that going to be with Victor Wembanyama playing at home in France in the Olympics, and he's going to be in the NBA for 2 years then by the time, say, he'll be 2 years through his NBA career by the time the Olympics happen. But some interesting groups here. The United States is in Group C. They're playing in Manila. So they're going to be playing in the Philippines, USA, Jordan, Greece, and New Zealand. So Greece means the U.S. are going to be playing Giannis, which that's going to be epic. Greece can ball, all right? Greece can, you know, they have good basketball professional teams in the EuroLeague. And obviously Giannis takes this extremely seriously. So, and coming off the disappointment with the Milwaukee Bucks, he's not going to be playing around, all right? Like, this international basketball stuff is so cool. I mean, we enjoyed a World Cup. We just saw the World Baseball Classic. So the USA is in Group C. USA, Jordan, Greece, and New Zealand. New Zealand are pretty good, too, right? We bet on New Zealand basketball, yet clearly the U.S. and Greece are the class here of that group. As far as Canada is concerned, I don't know what it is. Canada, you know, Canada always seemingly gets screwed and put in tough groups, like, all the time. Like, remember the World Cup? Two of the teams in their group ended up making it to the Final Four in the semifinals. Canada are in Group H, and they're in a group with Latvia, who can ball. Latvia, like, shoot threes and stuff, but Canada should be able to beat them. Lebanon are beatable and, you know, whatever. And France, who are loaded with NBA players and including Victor Wembanyama. That is in Jakarta. Canada, Latvia, Lebanon, and France. As far as the U.S. roster is concerned, it has been announced who's going to be trying out for the team. There's a training camp. Because players get hurt and stuff, and people pull out and stuff happens along the way. So they need to stack the roster, and then it's process of elimination, and not everybody makes the team that's invited to camp. Right? Like, they're basically, like, this is going to be the Olympic team. You know, they're setting up the next Olympic team here. So the training camp invitees for the United States, Bam Adebayo. These are the confirmed players that are going to the camp. Harrison Barnes, with all due respect, he's not going to make the team. Bam Adebayo, Harrison Barnes, Jaylen Brown, De'Aaron Fox, Joe Harris, Kyle Kuzma, Brooke Lopez, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, Donovan Mitchell, Mason Plumlee, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum. So the Celtics core are all in. P.J. Tucker, Miles Turner, Kemba Walker, and Thaddeus Young are all who are going to the U.S. Training camp. Obviously, some of these names we know. Some of these names we know are not going to make the team. I don't see how P.J. Tucker makes the team. Like, come on. Like, you mean, and you don't need a tough guy in international basketball. So it's not the NBA. Like, you're going to get kicked out. So it's international ball. It's different. We don't need PJ. So I'm just saying, but those are the players that are being, those are the teams that are going to the training camp this summer to make the team. And the games are in August. As far as Canada is, you know, pool of players isn't as deep as the United States, so it's a little bit more clear cut. as far as who's playing. Andrew Wiggins, obviously, has he's had a tough year personally. Andrew Wiggins didn't say he's not playing, but they're not counting on him. He's got personal business to attend to once this, the NBA season is over. But I think if Canada qualify for the Olympics, Wiggins will play. Canada are pretty much locked in with their starters. They like this five. It's been a successful five. And their starting five is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, RJ Barrett, Kelly Olynyk, and Dwight Powell. And it's basically, you'd figure, well, you know what, your front court's not great here, but it's international ball. Olynyk is a good player. He's a good passer. He fits this system. We should note Nick Nurse, former Raptors coach, Nick Nurse. Sounds crazy to say former coach. But Nick Nurse, even though Nick Nurse is not the coach of the Raptors anymore, he is still the coach of Team Canada. And he's still, he's coaching. So they got a good coach. They got Nick Nurse. And Matthias, this team is built around the guards, bro. It's built around Gilgeous-Alexander and Murray. You know what I'm saying? And so, but we're sure. Deep Canada, and they're going to rotate. But this is where they come in. And you've got a nice wave of players that come in off the bench here. With Ben Mathurin, Dylan, loud talker Brooks. Dylan Brooks is on the team. And he's playing. He's confirmed. He said, if I'm not a free agent, and he is a free agent, but don't kid yourself. Dylan Brooks is getting signed. So Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, Nikhil Alexander Walker, Ben Mathurin. It's a pretty good team. Like, it's an NBA team, right? Like, if this was an NBA team, it'd be a pretty good team, right? It'd be a playoff caliber NBA team. Compared to the rest of the world, Matthias, they're pretty good. And even though France have Wembanyama, they have Gobert, they have Seng, France are good. That Canada-France game is going to be a battle. Like, each group has, one really good game in it. That's going to be a good game, Canada versus France. And USA versus Greece going to be lit.
Gabe, man, to tell you the truth, I think Canada's that third-best team in the world right now. And you know what? It could be the second. If it's USA, then it's Spain, and I guess you could say Canada. You know, that roster that you just named, top to bottom, it's a damn good team.
They can shoot and score, this roster, right? That's the one thing you could say, that they could shoot and score, this roster. Jamal Murray, Gilgeous-Alexander, Ben Mathurin. Like, they've got guys that can light it up quickly. They've got some big bodies that, can play international ball. Basically, what it is, that's you know why that's their five? Because that's the five that's played together the most and showed the most loyalty to the program. You know what I mean?
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply. Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Paul Murray's been in all the time. Gilgeous-Alexander's kind of like he's way into this thing. Like, he's really he's proud to play. He wants to play. He's down. He likes that he's the star with him and Murray, the guards here. That's lethal, though, man. It's a nice guard combo. Jamal Murray and SGA on the floor together. Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Let's roll. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it Sunday, bloody Sunday. The biggie, Eric Cohn, is going to step up and in and join us. I see Arsenal were victorious, and Arsenal now trail Man City by 1 point. They trail Man City by 1 point, but Man City have a match in hand. So I don't think Arsenal are going to be able to pull this thing out. We're going to need a miracle, but hey, like Al Michaels said, do you believe in miracles? I want to get to the UFC card. So the UFC card was last night in Newark. And we spent a lot of time talking about Cejudo and Sterling and Matias. You ended up, you changed your mind like 3-4 times throughout the week, which is never a good sign. All right, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Football is what football. I'm telling you, anytime like there's a football game and you don't really like it, and but you're kind of forced to bet it. It's like a Monday night or a Thursday nighter, and you flip flop, and you don't really know. You're more often than not, you're going to end up losing. And I've noticed that, especially with MMA betting, at least with me, I've known over the years, most of the time, like when a fight is announced or like you see the odds for the first time, and like most of the time, my first reaction is always right. Like if, and I don't always have like a good reaction, you know what I mean? But if I have a reaction, it's like, all right, this guy's going to beat that guy. Like I know, I'm like, oh, I like that fight. And I'm normally right. When I start to flip-flop and I'm not really sure and all that, and I got to be honest, though, like, I liked Cejudo in the fight, but I was also concerned about the ring rust of being off for 3 years. That's a significant amount of time, bro. And you're fighting the champ here in Sterling. So I think, I underestimated the cage rust for Cejudo. And I also underestimated Sterling's improvement as a fighter, Matias, because you know what? There were times where he was controlling a gold medalist Olympian on the ground, like wrestling and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he's pretty well-rounded, man. And it was, yeah, you know what I mean? It was a, it was a close fight, but even Cejudo himself said it was a close fight, but he won the fight. He said, he won the fight. I have no complaints about the decision. He won the fight. And I like Cejudo's honesty, Matias. Remember last week I talked about what I liked about Cejudo was just his athletic pedigree, his desire to win. But age catches up to you, man. And inactivity catches up to you. And you saw his words after in which he said, I don't know, man. I'm kind of confused now. He said, I thought I could come back and win this and then go to 145. And it was pretty damning when he said, he goes, how can I go to 145 if I can't beat Aljo? And he said, it's not disrespect against, he didn't mean to disrespect against Sterling, but then Matias, it was the kiss of death. He started talking about his kids. Well, I got a kid coming. So in other words, I overestimated Cejudo, underestimated Sterling.
Yeah, that's the way it went. Even, Cejudo, he fought a good fight for his age, I gotta say. He fought a tough fight. He made adjustments, but at the same time, Sterling was better in all areas. He was stronger. He was faster. He controlled the fight, like you said. Henry did fight with some energy in there, landed some good combos. Had a great takedown, but you know what? He didn't do anything with it. That's when I knew the fight was over. He had great takedown, didn't do anything with it. Aljamain reverses it, ends up winning round one. Right there and then, I'm just thinking, man, Henry's a little old right now. He isn't the same Henry that beat that TJ Dillashaw back in the day.
No.
It's
one thing to train. It's another thing to be in the cage.
He won the gold medal in 2008. He's a gold medal wrestler. It's like, that was 2008. I was a senior in high school in 2008. That's a long time ago, Gabe. You know, and you're an athlete. You were an athlete. You know, once an athlete, always an athlete. But, you know, 18 and 32, so that's a lot of, it's a lot of years. A lot of things happen between those ages.
Yeah. I wish I was 32 right now. Still, I got to tell you. But props to Sterling. Great win. And now it looks like it's going to be O'Malley, right? O'Malley and Sterling. For the record, not many people. I looked at best fight odds. Like, no sports book really has. I was looking. Best fight odds is pretty good for, like, advanced fights that haven't happened yet and stuff. And, you know, some books will throw odds up. There is a tentative odd up. One book, one place in Europe put a line up. Minus 240, Sterling. Favorite over O'Malley. And hard to bet against Sterling at this point right now. I got to tell you that.
It's a scary fight because O'Malley is, you know, he can land, Gabe. He's a great striker, great timing, knows how to get in, knows how to get out. But at the same time, he can't get taken down. And Sterling is a specialist. You know, when a specialist can take you down and keep you
O'Malley
down.
O'Malley hasn't earned a title shot, but he's getting it because of his fame. I get it. So, yeah. But I don't think he's been in enough wars like to go, like Sterling's been in wars before, bro. That Yan stuff. You know what I mean? He's been through a lot. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think O'Malley's ready for this, to be honest.
Well, was Conor McGregor ready for Jose Aldo when they gave him the Aldo fight? I kind of think he was because he beat Chad Mendes. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't like they gave him the hardest route to get to Chad
Mendes. Funny, too, that it's also in Boston. That's where the fight's going to be.
Yeah, oh, that's great, though.
Sterling and O'Malley.
This is good for the UFC. It's good for the fans. It's a fun fight for the fans. It's going to be crazy. And, you know, I'm going to want to be there to tell you the truth. That's one of the fun parts.
The media
right
will
there.
Hype it up. Exactly. Like, Sterling is learning, too, that if you talk smack a little bit and stuff, people pay more attention. I think he's a good guy, so I don't think it's in his nature to want to be like a jerk off, so to speak. But it'll be a lot of smack talk leading up to this fight, for sure. They're going to sell it. We all know the UFC loves O'Malley, and that's why they're putting this, you know, they're putting the Irish kid in Boston against the New Yorker, which, you know, it writes itself. It's going to be cool. So listen, I was on Cejudo. I was wrong, but I only played three fights, Mathias. I didn't bet that much. I played a couple of totals, too, but we were right about my boy Jourdain. Charles Jourdain gets it done against Gracie. That was, you know, easily, obviously.
Gracie needs to get cut. That was pathetic. And you know what? In his fight against Cub Swanson, I didn't really think that was all that great either 3 years ago. You know, it turned into a bloodbath, into a fight everybody loves to watch, but it wasn't very, I don't know. It wasn't a fight filled with talent. I guess Cub Swanson was talented, but Crone was just a punching bag. And then this past weekend, you know, on Saturday, you know, he, like Dana said, it was a time capsule back to 1995. You know, I don't get it. He's not good with the fans. He's not good with, you know, with the camera in his face. He's not good with interaction. I just don't see the reasoning behind even signing this guy.
Oh, Jourdain gets another nice win. It's too bad. I would have liked Jourdain. It's too bad he wasn't on the card coming up in Vancouver, actually, which we're still waiting for odds for, to be honest.
Hey, but you know what? He had such a great fight, and he made it look so easy. He called out Edson Barbosa, and I think that was awesome because that's a great setup fight for him. I think he could win that fight, and it's a fight that everybody's going to want to watch.
Yeah, you know what? It's exactly. And if, you know, the UFC rewards people, they like it, Mathias, when you do that. Like, they don't like when guys, like, you know what I mean? Oh, whoever they give me and stuff. It's like, yeah, whatever, dude. That's why you're going to wait forever, right? No, you got to go out there and take your shot. I want to fight this guy. Make it happen, right? And so I like it. I don't mind him calling his shot. But one thing that we did get right was Muhammad. I told you. And I know that Burns got hurt, but so what? It is what it is. People get hurt. Dude, like, Muhammad, this is the Leon Edwards story all over again, Mathias.
I'm done underestimating Bilal. I've underestimated him the last two fights I have.
They always give him different styles that think, oh, this guy will get him. This is going to be tough for him and stuff. He even took this fight on short notice, and he won.
Yeah, Gabe, and you know what? He fought the fight with a bum foot. Did you see his left foot? Oh my God, there was a softball coming out of it. And that was even during the fight. That happened before the fight. He was limping at the weigh-ins. He was limping all over
they
UFC.
They can't justify
embedded.
The Colby stuff. That's a bunch of crap. That it's, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm Muhammad, I'm putting my foot down now. I'm not, like, he has to get the title shot now.
Yeah, but we know it's not going to happen. And it's the same reasoning behind Sean O'Malley getting the title shot next and him being the automatic title contender. When, in my opinion, it should be Corey Sandhagen. But it is what it is. You know, it's about the money at the end of the day and the popularity. And America wants Colby Covington, even though the numbers don't say so. But that's what Dana believes. But Dana also said that power slap, you know, is the best thing in the world.
I like, though, what Dana said about Covington. You all say that, like, he's my, you know, like, I'm a fanboy or I treat him special and stuff. He's like, that's not true at all. I don't do it at all. And then he goes on to say why he deserved that fight. And he goes, the reason that Colby wasn't fighting was because he got attacked by Masvidal. I'm thinking, dude, like, really? Like, you know what I mean? That was, you know, let's be real. Yeah, he is your guy, but we all know it. It is what it is, and it's not new, so, but it's unfair. Right? Like, what, is a guy supposed to win 13 fights in a row? No one wins 13 fights. Like, you know what I mean? You got to win 10 fights in a row, and, well, you know, we'll see about your title shot, but let's give the guy with the tattoos that says stupid things, let's give him the shot. That, you know, it is what it is. We all know the rules coming in. The fighters do. And it's sad but true. Fighters need to talk a little bit of smack. You know, I don't think you need to be disrespectful about it, or at least, like...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
You know, like over the top, but you have to say something. Otherwise, they just won't pump you. Like, it's not a sport where, like, your performance matters. It used to be, not anymore. The big Eric Cohen steps up and it is his sports rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, buddy, Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe over at Sirius XM Channel 159 of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Let's do this thing. We got the Big E, Eric Cohen, former colleague of ours and partner in crime on the old school late night anger management class, TSN Edge. And Cohen is on the way home. He went out to watch the Toronto Maple Leaf and the Florida Panther game. I believe he's in the back of a taxi right now. Cohen, thanks for joining us. I know you have to be a little bit shell-shocked right now as the Maple Leafs are down 3-0 and completely screwed.
They're definitely completely screwed. It is a Sunday, bloody Sunday indeed, and I just got to wonder where on earth was the effort, the passion, the drive, anything. I mean, you know, good 5 minutes. They start the game off well like they did in game two, get the lead. Played a decent, I guess, in that first period, but man, oh man, like the top players, you know, there's $40 million for those top four guys. And it just was an unacceptable performance by Mitch Marner. Auston Matthews, you know, hit the post in the first minute, then really was silent for most of the rest of the game. You know, not much again out of Tavares, out of Nylander. O'Reilly had some, inexplicable turnovers. You know, you lose Samsonov on a fluke play by Shen, but, you know, the problem is it was a giveaway that started that play, and if they don't turn it over, that rush doesn't happen. So just a very somber night, because now unless they can, summon their inner 1942 Maple Leafs team that came back from 3-0 down to beat Detroit in a series. This year is going to end, and it's not going to be a very pretty ending losing to a Florida team that was a wild card team and a team that I'm sure the Maple Leafs thought they could beat.
Yeah, don't think that Panther fans and everybody else, all the Leaf haters, don't remember the Leaf fans outside. We want Florida, right? We want Florida and all of that. Now you've got the Florida Panthers. And, you know, Cohen, you could look at this result and you could say, well, you know, it was a 3-2 game and stuff. Nah, like they were terrible. Like they were lucky it was a 3-2 game. They were absolutely terrible. And I don't understand. There's a couple of things that stuck out to me. I don't get why they don't get that you need to work in the playoffs, Cohen. Like, what part of this don't, like, you figure at some point they would say, you know what, the Panthers aren't even as good as us, but they're kicking our ass. Why? Well, they're working a hell of a lot harder than we are, guys. Right? Yeah. Like at what point do they realize, like, the Marner, the Matthews, the Nylander, do they realize I need to take this to another level? Otherwise, I'm going to a pool party in Vegas next week and not playing hockey anymore. And they don't. And the other thing that was really, you know, stuck out to me about tonight's game, Cohen, everybody was trying to be a hero and or they play like it's a regular season game, Cohen. You know what I mean? Like they're passing the puck around like in desperation mode. Like there was once when Nylander, instead of shooting, he tried this crazy nice pass and stuff. It's like, bro, you're not playing against the Blue Jackets on a February night here, man. Like this is the playoffs, Cohen. They just don't know how to play playoff hockey.
No, and you know, a good example of what you're saying is watch the Edmonton Oilers play. Every time the Edmonton Oilers play, Leon Draisaitl is giving it every single thing that he has. And, you know, Connor
McDavid. It's the last game of his life. Like, he's always laying it like it's the last game of his life, Draisaitl.
Yeah. And Connor McDavid, listen, he hasn't had the same playoff that Draisaitl's had. But, you know, McDavid is always playing against the top checker, and they've done decent jobs against him. Especially in the King series with Deneau. But, you know, listen, you watch the Oilers and you see a team that is, you know, skating hard, giving it everything they have. They're all over the place. And they're a team like the Leafs. The Leafs have that type of talent. And you're just not seeing that out of Toronto. And listen, it's not acceptable. You know, I know that Dubas and Keefe, you know, Keefe has said he's been baffled watching them in this series. Dubas is clearly frustrated because they know what this team's capable of. They know the skill they have. They know the next level this team can get to, and we're not seeing it. And as a Leaf fan, man, oh, man, is it frustrating. You know, NHL is a salary cap league, so it's not like you can blow something up, and no one's taking John Tavares' $11 million contract next year. I mean, in the past, when the Leafs have wanted to get rid of contracts like Patrick Marleau and Peter Mrazek, they've had to give away draft picks for people to take those players. So, you know, you can't get rid of players with these high tickets. And the Leafs have a few of them. And so, which means that next year, you know, they'll be, you know, tinkering and stuff. But this is it. This is what the Leafs have. This is the team that's got to show up in the playoffs. And what we've seen in this series is absolutely not good enough. And it's not even close.
The biggie, Eric Cohen, kicking with us. I am Gabriel Morency. So, you know, the Leafs and the Buffalo Bills have often sort of reminded, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities. They remind me of each other. And it was sort of like last year, Cohen, and I'm not a Leaf fan for people tuning in, but I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, and Cohen is both, unfortunately. Yep. But, you know, Cohen, like last year, so when they lost to Cincinnati in the playoffs, it's sort of like, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? It's like, honestly, we're not going to fire McDermott. We're not trading Josh Allen. Like, what do you do? Like, it's like, man, there's nothing we can do besides – guys, effing stop losing all the time. Like,
well, and, you know, I mean,
like if it's being exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying, Cohen, about Dubas. I don't blame Dubas. Dubas put together a good hockey team. I don't even blame Keefe. What the hell do you want him to do? Keefe used to play with passion when he played. Like, I don't know, Cohen. Like, and what it's not like, well, let's trade off. Let's let Austin Matthews walk, or let's break this team up and trade Marner or something. Marner's a great player. Matthews is a great player. But something's not working, Cohen. It's just factual.
You know, you brought up the Bills, and you remember the tantrum that Stephon Diggs had in the Cincinnati game. And you know, he said afterwards, I'm just tired of the same beep every single year, right? And that's how you got to feel if you're the Maple Leafs. You need someone like that to say, like, just to stand up, throw something, kick a garbage can. I don't know what you got to do, but say, guys, this isn't good enough. Every damn year, it's the same crap, and it's not good enough. It's not going to work going forward. We need a lot more out of you, and you. And you know, I don't know. At this point, it's just, I don't even know. I don't know what you do. As you said, I mean, it's going to be the same thing year after year. And what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And that's where the Maple Leafs are right now, because, you know, it's going to take a miracle for them to win four games in a row. We're not seeing any signs that that's even humanly possible. To me, it reminds me of that Raptors team the year before they won the championship, right? Like, they had all these expectations. They were a one seed. They were playing a, you know, a Cavs team that weren't that good. Toronto was a 2-1 favorite. And what happened? LeBron swept them. And Masai Ujiri said, enough's enough. I can't do this anymore. We can't do it.
That's a great comparison. And you know what?
They had Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, they had Lowry and DeRozan. It was sort of the same thing. It's like, well,
yeah,
DeRozan's a good player. He's scoring 25 points a game. People love him. And Masai saw it. We're not winning. It's the same thing every year, over and over and over again. So I get it. You know, that's what's frustrating. Listen, the series isn't over yet, but it kind of is. I mean, let's be real. And, you know, everybody buried the Leafs, Cohen, when they were down 2-0. I don't know if you saw me on Twitter. I said, this series is not over. And I actually said on the show, on the TV show on Friday night, I said, I think they're going to come back and win the series. I said, you know what I mean? They're going to win on Sunday. It's going to calm everybody down. They're better on the road, but they just don't have it. And to score first, give it back, get the lead again and give it back. It's just, you know what I mean? At some point, it's just exasperating.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, we've been through this and we you watch it, the effort tonight, again, the, you know, it's funny because it's like the second game in a row. You start so well, and you know, you just have to wonder why they can't sustain it. Like, why are they able to start on time, have it, you know, be able to do the things they have to do at the beginning of the game, and then all of a sudden they can't do it for another 50 minutes. It's just unacceptable. Like, you know, they had 7 shots on goal halfway through the hockey game. That's not good enough. It's not going to win. And if they continue to go this way, it's going to be over on Wednesday night, and you know, you're going to look at it and say, well, they slayed the Dragon and they got their first playoff series win. But it's just not, you know, that you get an opportunity like this where Boston, Colorado, Tampa Bay, they're all out in the first round. They were the Stanley Cup favorite after the first round, and to go out the way they're going out, it is absolutely pathetic.
I can't believe that they actually were, right? That people bought into it, and the Leafs should be the Stanley Cup favorites right now. And Edmonton were as well. But, you know, like you said, Edmonton shows something. There's nothing to, like, you notice it's the same thing over and over when the Leafs lose, right? They just sort of have the same answers all the time. Yeah. You see when the Oilers lose, they're like angry for real, real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see, like, Woodcroft is angry. There's an intensity about them that there's just a different level. It is what it is. I was going to say, can they win on Wednesday? But probably not, right? What do you think? They're probably,
I don't think so. I think the season's over. You know, and you look at Edmonton, and you know, they're up 5-0 against Vegas in game 2. And the
can you believe that game didn't go over, Cohen? I had the over 6.5.
I'm shocked that game didn't go over. But you know, Vegas starts, you know, they start taking some liberties, and you see what Evander Kane does, having a guy like that, right? With the body punches. And then after the game goes off saying, if they're going to, you know, mess around with us, you know, that's what they're going to get. We're not backing down. They don't care what the score is. They're going to play till the end of the whistle. And I think that's the difference between an Edmonton team and a Toronto team. You just didn't see it at all tonight. There was no spirit. There was no fight. The adjective, I think I've run out of negative things to say. I mean, like, how many times can I call them pathetic in one phone call? But yeah, that's just where we are.
The biggie, Eric Conrad. Cole, we'll get you out here in a couple of minutes. On a more positive note, it was a rough week for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blowing the lead to Seattle, getting swept by the Boston Red Sox. But they go into Pittsburgh. They get the job done. They sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they're on a 3-game win streak right now, 21-14 after 35 games. Tough schedule this week, though. Things don't get any easier on the road. What do you make of the Blue Jays week? And at least they stopped a little bit of the bleeding here, Cohen. I've got $1,000 on the Jays to win over their season win total.
So
every win counts, Cohen. You know what I'm saying? Every win counts. Like, I'm not happy when I see them lose like 5 games in a row.
No.
91.5 or 92.5? I think I didn't.
It's 91.5 when it closed.
Yeah, I got 91.5. That's right. Yeah. 91.5, yeah.
Listen, the Blue Jays, that the series in Fenway was pathetic. Again, going back to that word that I like on this phone call, especially because you mentioned, you know, they should have swept Seattle. They you know, blew the game against Seattle with a big lead. And then they had opportunities to win those first three games at Boston. The fourth one, Gossman just got lit up. But credit to the Blue Jays in this series against Pittsburgh. Every single starter came out. And it wasn't, you know, Manoah and Gossman are their 1-2, but it was the 3-4-5. It was, you know, Bassett and Berríos and Kikuchi that all had strong starts in Pittsburgh, all three of them. And, you know, it's good to see that a few of the guys that have been really struggling offensively, Dalton Varsho's turned it around, George Springer starting to hit, and Brandon Belt had a tremendous series in Pittsburgh. Those are three guys that have been really ice cold for a few weeks. So that's the real positive. Obviously, you got to hope that the Vladdy injury does not land him on the IL. He missed the last two games. They're saying it's minor, so hopefully he's back in the lineup on Tuesday. But, you know, I like this Blue Jay team. I do. I think that, you know, 1-9, it's a solid lineup. I think 1-5, it's a really good rotation. I worry, obviously, that, you know, from a few people I've talked to that work in baseball, they think that maybe Manoah's issues are, and I think Max Scherzer talked about it, some of the guys that aren't premier athletes are struggling with the pace of the game, having to just go out and continue to throw and not being able to take a break and take a breath and take a step off the mound.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and I think that's what Manoah's problem is. I mean, that's you know, I'm not going to body shame him, but he's a bigger guy and he's not used to pitching, you know, throwing a pitch every 12 seconds and not
getting. Don't let him hear you. Don't let him hear you say that, because he's going to say, I don't know who the hell Cohen is. I don't care, because he's been going up for this, and in a good way, but we're up against it here, Cohen.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Right now to Big E, Eric Cohen. Cohen, always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff. Thanks for joining us. I know it was a rough night. Thanks for joining us, bro.
Yeah, anytime, Dave. Take care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday bits at Sports Talk Radio. And down the stretch they come. And down the stretch we come. Interesting comments following the basketball game tonight. Nikola Jokic got into it with Matt Ishibia. What's the Ishibia, the owner of the new owner? What is it with owners of the Phoenix Suns? Last the Sarver guy was always in the news too. But he was asked if he thinks he's going to be suspended. He's like, for what? Like what he said. He said, for what? They said, well, you pushed the owner of the Suns. He goes, the owner's a fan. He said, I don't know. Like, basically, I don't know who he is. He's a fan. And basically, he touched me. So I don't, like I said this earlier. I think, listen, the odds makers always are a step ahead. And if they had legitimate concern, if they thought the Jokic was going to be suspended, the Nuggets would be 5-point favorites like they are right now in game five. And I said the same thing earlier. I don't think he's going to be suspended for this. But there was a little hostility, actually. I didn't even get to F1 in Miami. man, Red Bull and Verstappen and Perez, it's just been a dominant run. They've won every race of the season. I don't know if Max Verstappen is the best racer ever. I'm going to get an F1 expert on. I want to talk about this. I don't know, right? I always thought that Michael Schumacher was the best that I saw and stuff. You know what I mean? Like the dominance of Schumacher. Yet Verstappen just wins all the time. And like when it's all said and done, Verstappen's going to break a lot of records at the pace that he's on right now. But I'm wondering, is like Verstappen just some sort of amazing, like the best driver ever? Or is it just like our Red Bull, like the best team ever right now? You know what I mean? But either way, you make money betting on them. But Ross Chastain punched Noah Gragson in the face. And you know what? I know the Chastain's hated by everybody and stuff, but Noah deserved to get punched. He got in his face. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.